The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Skanks. Me and Big J Okerson are doing two shows in Key West, Florida this Friday and Saturday, May 27th and 28th. These were just added last minute. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's a really, really intimate venue. So grab your tickets right now at ComedyKeyWest.com.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quit, if the fingerless glove don't fit. Get break quick by that big dick, Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the club.
There's a side by side video you said?
Hold on, I'm doing my impression of Deftones.
Me and Josh Adam Myers can do it with each other. Go over and we go,
Sasun Say.
Where's the side by side video?
He was ignoring Bobby as he's asking legitimate questions to do our Deftones impression.
I mean,
this is the show.
I mean,
this is the show, by the way. The whole time. Just
sauces.
Mark Norman stole a joke.
Sticky Mark Norman. Joke thieving accusation.
Why would you steal it? Steal it.
Sacred material.
Parallel thing.
Accidental hearing something, thinking it's your own thoughts.
Maybe lifted it.
But he stared him right in.
Well, I mean, I have.
You gotta do the other kind of music. He goes, "Fuck your joke, motherfucker. I don't give a shit."
I took that joke
shit and I put it on a theater stage.
No, Bobby, this is better. We're just going to keep on.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
It's as if the Deftones were exploring Mark Norman's joke theater.
Bobby should have been quicker in finding the videos.
What date was the original joke uploaded?
Who did it first? Fuck Norman! Parallel thinking! Mark Norman!
Say it ain't so!
You wrote it.
All right, so anyway.
Then I took it.
Bobby, you couldn't find it?
Well, I don't have the side-by-side, but I have the two jokes.
Well, there's one video that's on YouTube specifically that says, like, Mark Norman joke, and it's like has a counter with all the similarities. Get that one.
Right.
I mean, I know it's out there.
Right, right, but yeah, I haven't seen any of this. I have the two jokes.
I can already tell you going in, there's no way Mark Norman stole a joke.
Okay.
I just don't believe that.
All right. You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Norman is unquestionably not a joke thief, unquestionably.
Yeah.
But I think there's a debate here about what happened at the very least. And I always get Mark's back. Mark is a literally autistic genius level joke writer. He just churns out material.
He churns out jokes. Someone probably, like, I can already tell you what this is.
There's no sinister. I have seen this, and there's no sinister in this, I don't believe. Yeah.
So let's pull up the kid's joke first. Or do you want to pull up Mark's joke first?
No, do the kids first, I think.
Yeah, do the kids first. And what's the kid's name? And by the way, I understand from this kid's perspective why he would... Wait, no, this is a completely different thing, dude.
Oh, he stole more.
It's another time. Mark, it's not the first time.
I have a history of this. Never thought I'd get called on my...
Where there's smoke, there's fire!
Oh, man. I want to get a job on a show one day as a person who looks things up. I bet I'd be great at it.
It would be so easy. It's in the Facebook group. So let me, I guess I'll look in the Facebook group and then I'll send you the link, Bobby.
I give Christine the biz on this all the time on Bonfire. Well, I'm like,
all you had to do is tell me where you found it and then I could find it there.
Bobby, can you stop cutting my balls off on my own fucking show? I mean, what is going on here?
I saw it on Instagram. No, you're right. Bobby Lewis is a faggot, but I was on Instagram. And
you just have to tell me where you found these things.
It's on, go on Facebook, on the, isn't it like the kid's name is like Pete something?
Oh, it's in the Reddit. It's on the Reddit page.
I just
page
put it in
sure.
the chat.
Okay, just don't worry.
Thank you, Alex. Alex, fuck, wow.
Women.
Look at that. Well, Bobby was busy calling Lewis a faggot. Alex went and did the work.
Ain't it always the way? Ain't it always the way it goes?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So apparently this kid, he's going on and he's been like, yeah, dude, I wrote this joke. I know for a fact, Mark Norman saw me perform this joke. The video of him performing it is at the stand, you know, and yeah, there, I won't spoil it, but you'll see the points where you would, if you're this kid, you're going, that's my fucking joke. I completely understand why this kid is going.
Let me see the joke before I make.
That was damning in that regard.
For sure. But I mean, good. We got it.
I've noticed that women treat puppy stores the same way that guys treat strip clubs. Like, you go there and you like walk by and you're like, well, they've had a terrible upbringing, but oh, they're so cute, why not? They're like, welcome a few minutes, hurry. And so you go in and all of a sudden Roxy's pawing at you and you're like, she really loves me. And so $2,500 later, you bring her home. I did a good thing. I rescued her.
It's a woman's motor running. Remember, I took my girl to a pet shop once? Holy shit, ladies, the pet shop. That is your strip club. My God, a woman in a pet shop's like a horny guy at a strip club. You walk in, you can barely handle, like, oh my God, I want to touch them all. I had to be like, hey, relax. Some of these are in broken homes. They might attack you. She was just going down the line like a horny guy. That one's beautiful. That one's gorgeous. That one's perfect. That's my favorite. I like that one the best. The manager's like, yeah, that's Roxy. Everybody likes Roxy. Yeah, yeah. Bring over Roxy. They bring Roxy over. They go to a private area. She got Roxy on her lap. She's like, I swear to God, she's in love with me. I'm like, no, she's looking for a better life. Come on.
I've noticed that.
Well, I feel bad. I think Mark probably wishes that it wasn't the joke that he, at the end of it, got like a little bit of a laughter. And he went, come on
now. Hey, that guy worked hard on this one.
All right, guys. I didn't write that one. If it makes you feel any better, not laughing too hard.
I saw it from some open micer. What's he going to do? I got a career. He doesn't. Comedy.
Lewis, when we talked about this, you made a fantastic point about it too. Like, I think if there was any purposeful stealing here, he probably would have, if he's going to change anything, not make them both Roxy.
Yeah, if you're going to steal the joke, you're going to change the name. And if he just changes the name, it's very easy to argue parallel thinking. It's very easy to go like, you know, if you bring your girl to a pet store, if you're a comedian and she starts fawning over dogs, it's not a crazy jump to sort of come up with that premise. And I bet you other comics have done that premise, right? The name Roxy is the thing that sort of sticks out. And I think a lot of people on Reddit were pointing to that and going like, look, dude, he didn't even change the name. If you're going to steal a joke, you could just change it to Fido. And then sort of there's no argument there. Right.
Well, so also let me also say this about parallel thinking too. Genuinely thinking of the name that would be, because the problem with Fido is it doesn't fit into the
right.
Joke
it's not a stripper well. As well. Right?
The idea is supposed to be a stripper's name to some degree. So like,
I was talking to Kim Congdon about it, and she was like, well, I had a dog named Roxy as a kid. That's a pretty common name for a dog. So look, here's what I think could have happened. And I don't know, but there's a good chance that, you know, Mark could have fucking like literally heard this in the background and maybe fucking subconsciously like buried it in his head and fucking went.
Sure.
I don't think so, though. I mean, if Mark was in the same room as this guy, that's 100% what happened then. If Mark's ever seen the guy do the joke. Yeah. I think he subconsciously fucking, you know, lifted that joke. But I don't, number one, I don't know that. Number two, it's like, I just know Mark as a dude and as a comedian and as a writer, he's so good at writing jokes. You don't really, when you're that good at writing jokes, there's no upside to stealing a joke. There's none. Good comedians, that's it. You're a fucking joke thief. You're out. Nobody respects you. Nobody wants you around. It's like a fucking scarlet letter on you. So I know 100% for a fact, Mark does not steal jokes, but is there a debate that if he heard that kid do it, that could he subconsciously pulled it?
It's possible. Sure. But it's also, I got to say, it's not exactly impossible that like having never heard it, you wouldn't still go. Like once you decide that's the joke you're going to do, yeah, like make that connection, then all those points that they hit on, like all the tags of it become like the obvious kind of like tags, yes, to go to. I don't know. Like you said, it's like Mark's one of these dudes, like none of the three of us are like this in stand-up. Like Mark's like a fire out joke, like joke yeah, guy.
And premise like, setup.
Yeah, he's written so many
punch.
He's written so many, you couldn't steal them. Like, you sure know what I mean? Like, and so like, yeah, I don't know. I think
people, what a prolific thief.
Let's just say Mark has written 1,000 jokes, right? He's like, dude, let me just get one in. Let me go steal a couple jokes too. More than likely, if you just sort of look at it and you know everyone who's involved, you go, no, Mark's not a joke thief.
No.
Either parallel thinking or, I mean, by the way, that's also happened. I've been on stage and I've said a line. I'm like, oh shit, that's somebody's line. And I'm like, fuck. Now I never worked it into a whole other bit.
Yeah.
But Mark's also retarded and autistic. So maybe he like literally subconsciously lit and was like, oh, that's a great idea for a joke. And then he just kept on going with it.
I'm so lucky. I haven't gotten things on TV or in recording by accident. That was a thing like that. I told you the one I always remember just cause like, the laughter I had myself at the car, like probably for like a month or so, at least a couple weeks, I had some joke where I said something going like little, I forget what it was even about other than the punchline was like firing out like little green army man going, go, 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 go. Like, you know, like parachuting out or something.
Yeah.
And Attell, I was listening to Skinks for the Memories one time driving to Philly. Because I remember being on the turnpike when that just came on. He's like, Little Green Army Man, go, go. He just does the same. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Yeah. Like, was I about to have a staple of my set be a complete, I mean, like, I don't even know if it was referencing the same thing other than like that.
Jesus, no, you just, I mean, that was in your head somewhere.
Right, right.
Was him saying that and it came out. It's like a weird thing because like, if you listen to a lot of comedy, it does just like go somewhere to the back of your head. And then like a new idea for a joke just kind of comes to you. Like you just think, right, of it. And it's, sometimes it's hard to tell like where exactly that was or if that was something else. Or I'm sure there's a million times that we've all, like, I'm not even talking about the idea of the joke or a tag or anything like that. I'm just saying the words you would put together to say something funny that was on a sitcom once in the fucking 90s that's in the back of your head somewhere because that's just the way to say it. So shit like that happens all the time. This is like a bit that's the same, but it's like, again, like I said, once you decide that's the bit, if you go, oh, I'm going to compare pet stores to strip clubs, this is where you'd go with the fucking bit. So the other thing I'd say is if this guy's calling Norman out publicly for it, I think that's fucked up.
The guy is saying, I've done so many shows with Mark Norman. So like you said, the more realistic.
That should be a private conversation.
Also, no, I think
the most realistic answer would be that.
He said that he tried to reach out to Mark Norman multiple times and heard nothing back from him or his people.
Okay, that's fair, but that's the way it should be handled.
You haven't heard back from him or his people?
Yeah. I mean, well, I feel like Mark's not that hard.
Did he say in his post he tried to settle it for money or something? Or was
is that what he said?
No, no, no. I don't know. I don't want to be wrong. This is what I read. So, yeah.
Let's see. I've always... All right, let me read it. It's always been a dream of mine to tell jokes, to tell my jokes on TV, and it looks like telling my jokes on TV is also one of Mark Norman's dreams. Glad you made it happen. I've told this joke around New York City for years, and it's been on my YouTube and Reddit for at least 5 years. Plus, I've done it on shows that we've both been on. So imagine my surprise seeing the joke in the description of the special. My manager has been trying to resolve this with his team for months. He's gotten zero response. So here it is for the world to see.
Your manager shouldn't be trying to resolve this, dude. Like, this should be something you should talk to.
Yeah, you get his
Norman
number, you call him up, like, what the fuck, dude?
And not even what the fuck. Like, I would treat him with the presumption of complete innocence. Like, yes, I would just be like, hey, dude, like, just so you know, like, I've been doing this exact same bit. Like, but that's like, this has happened before with comps. Sure. I don't think there's
my
anything.
My question is,
it shouldn't be a public call out.
My question is, though, what's the resolution, though, if you get that phone call happening? Mark Norman's now done the joke on Netflix. So if he
doesn't fucking matter,
the solution?
I don't know, dude. Look, Bill Burr did a very similar bit that I did on my special first. I know Bill Burr didn't steal it. I know for a fact he didn't steal it. It's the same
thing. You're saying right here that Bill Burr stole your joke.
Bill Burr stole your joke.
He stole my joke, dude.
I talked to him.
Dude, he stole my joke. He stole my girlfriend. You know, I used to date his wife.
You know, you don't know that. Don't tell it to Kumia.
Kumia's like, what? Come for supporting today's show. Yo Kratom, home of the $60 kilo. If you're over 21 years old, you need some Kratom. Guess what? Get it from YoKratom.com. It's like five times less than anywhere else you're going to get it. And Yo Kratom supports everything we do. They're the marquee sponsors for Skank Fest. They're really the marquee sponsors for all things Gas Digital and the Legion of Skanks.
They are the reason why Yo MMA Rap exists.
It's true.
They're a kilo of support for this show.
Yeah. It's fucking huge. A huge, big, fat kilo. And look, guys, you always wanted to buy a kilo. Now's your chance. You don't got to go down to Miami. You don't have to meet a shady Colombian on an airport hangar somewhere. You can simply get a kilo of Kratom shipped directly to your door.
Colombian
in Miami.
If I would have known this, if Yo Kratom was available years ago, I wouldn't have lost my family to the cartel.
It's very true.
It's very true right now. I'd have parents right now.
So right now, YoKratom.com, go grab a $60 kilo. Okay, where were we? Dude, Kumia really is becoming Yosemite Sam.
Hot, hip, hot, leap, leap, leap.
Doggy. No, but like, you know, there's not even a little part of me. Obviously, Bill Burr didn't steal it from me. But in my mind, I wasn't like... All I went was like, all right, mine was on this thing first. He's got a similar joke. He's on a bigger platform. It sucks that he has a much larger platform to do it. But in a weird way, I felt complimented.
It kind of makes you feel good.
Because I was like, yeah, dude, I'm thinking in the same way.
It's not like some hack.
Best comics in the
world. It's not like some hack had the same thing as you. And you're like,
no, I know. But but put yourself in the position of like, you feel it's your beast, right? You think that's your beast joke. Which I have a feeling this guy does feel that way about that.
Yeah, by the way, his version of it's good too. He does it well, and he kills with it.
If you're Mark, how do you make this right with
there's
him?
There's no making it right. Like, I don't know, dude. Like, it kind of sucks, but like, that's just that. If I was that other kid, what's his name? The guy whose joke it was. You just got to stop doing that joke. I don't know what to say. Like, that's it. It's on Netflix now. It's too late to like fucking really be resolved. Like, you're going to stop doing that.
It's also, if you've been doing the joke for a few years, retire it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll write another joke. If you can write a joke that funny, you can write another joke that funny. Yeah. Like, whatever. Just fucking.
It sucks. I don't think the kid's a dick. I think he's just like ultimately like, fuck, dude. A lot of the times in comedy, when you don't have a lot, maybe he's got a lot going on. I shouldn't even say that, dude, because he's got a manager, right? So, but you're looking for the wins. You know what I'm saying? I've never heard of this kid. I don't know how famous he is just yet, but you're trying to get as many wins as possible. And then when you see, you're like, damn, dude, that's like a joke that I could do on television. It's like a clean joke.
Maybe he's working
on a Conan tape or a late night tape, and that's like they've already approved it. It's fucking heart wrenching if you're that dude. So it's not an attack on that guy.
Dude, I remember when I was like, let me finish that thought.
The point is, though, I almost feel like he, deep down, do you really believe that Mark Norman, who's such a prolific joke writer, saw you and purposely stole your joke? Probably not. You know, maybe, you know,
no.
I don't think anybody in the world would think that. So I almost feel like for him to like, you chalk it up and you go, fuck, that sucks. But to kind of go online, like, it just seems
But I'm saying, I'm saying like that suck. Like again, that suck with no even inkling of justice in your mind. So I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just saying if he feels he's right, you're like, it's such a fucking real, like, you know, punch the wall motherfuck moment. You're like,
but what are you going to do though? You can't,
nothing, like, I guess. That's what I'm saying. It's my point. Mark, that's the conversation. Owe, nothing, even I if, guess.
Mark doesn't owe the kid money. Mark didn't get a Netflix special because of that joke. It's not like there was no real monetary value in it that was stolen. It sucks for that kid. I don't know, Lewis, do you remember this? I haven't thought about this in forever. I was like 6 months into comedy, something like that. And I had what was my, I think, strongest joke at the time. Like, suck. The joke sucked. But at the time, it was like my fucking, this one what kills. Was it was awful. It was like a contrast between football and how soccer is called football. And the bit was like about how Americans are so arrogant because we just came up with a new sport.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's named it after a sport that already
existed. A hacky bit.
It's horrible. It was like one of your first few months that you wrote it.
Yeah, of course.
But do you remember we heard Vic Henley do it?
Yeah.
And it was crushing to me at the time.
And at the moment, I remember you said, you're like, dude, Dave said, I hope you die in exactly 15 years.
To the date came
crazy, dude.
And then I realized I had magical powers that could make people die. And then when I realized that, I gave Lewis 15 years. So buckle up, everybody. But it was like, it was just like this thing where it's like, oh, fuck, now that's out of your my act and that sucks. But then it was also kind of like, and this was a much worse joke than this joke. I was a much newer comic than these guys are. But it's also kind of like, you know, it burns, but then it's kind of like an opportunity to be like, all right, you got to fucking write shit that's more like your own. That kind of, there couldn't be someone else doing what you're fucking doing.
Look, and like, I will say, I think that's not a hack joke or
premise. No, I'm not saying
it. But when you're just a joke, when you're an observational joke writer,
it's very hard
to bump into this.
Yeah, especially when I said that at the beginning of the conversation. I promise you, you could find somebody else that's done this premise. You know, the only debate here is did Mark hear it? Subconsciously hear this joke and pull from it? And I think honestly,
nothing about knowing Mark makes me feel he would just fucking. In any way,
there's no chance.
Do this.
There's no chance.
No, and also, if this guy went up to Mark Norman and was like, "Hey, dude, I think Mark would be like, oh my god, dude, I'm so sorry." Like that. Like Mark is he's a good dude who loves comedy. Like these guys are nerds. Like Norman,
I think he also takes pride in his shit.
The reason Mark Norman is friends with Jerry Seinfeld is because they were in the back of a comedy club one day. And they started talking comedy, and like he's such a purist that Seinfeld was like, "I want to befriend this kid," because he's like, "So I the X factor here is that I really know Mark, and I know that." It's just there's zero chance he consciously tried to steal this kid's joke. 0%, absolutely 0%. So and there, look, there's a few people that you know that lift things. I won't name names. There's a few, but nobody respects them. They're known as the guys who like just do the easiest shit possible.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that thing earlier in the conversation when you were like, nobody wants them around. Like people who are known as like joke thieves. Nobody wants them around. I'm like, I think there's people who have that like. Kind of moniker, like, or that's that kind of dirt on their name, and yet people are just like, it's who they are.
I saw. Do you remember? Sure. I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but there was this like real heated interview with Carlos Mencia. I think it was actually that Patrick Bet David guy. I think I could be getting this wrong, but he interviewed Mencia, and they were like really grilling him on stealing jokes, and Mencia wouldn't admit that he stole them. And he goes at one point, he was like, "Well, this is the thing. Like, if you steal jokes, you're just this is what happens to you. Like, you're banished." And Mencia was like, "Well, that's not true. I mean, like, I don't know. Dane Cook like did Louis C.K. jokes, and Amy Schumer stole those jokes, and like all this shit." And then he's like, "None of them got fucking banished." And I was kind of like, "Oh yeah, I guess it was really you."
Yeah,
no one really got it.
But that was
like
also
he
here's the thing. I think with all of those other people, right? When you're naming like outlying jokes,
yeah, there was like a defense there too. Like it wasn't.
It was
so
a defense, and then also like he was like the story with him was he would stand there and just steal his opener's jokes, and it was a shitty, grimy, and you wouldn't do it because you're like you need the work. You just would take it. And that was like sort of the origin of that. You know, Amy's
no one
writers
else was like that.
Lifting premises for her show. It's like it's just not the same sort of like. Bully thing. It didn't like come off as like
Amy
Schumer was a bully, right? It didn't seem like it was a victim of her joke stealing. It seemed like, oh yeah, another TV show did a similar joke. There's no victim. They're all fucking millionaires. They're all on TV. I don't really give a fuck about that.
Yeah, it's
right?
true. It wasn't.
But
yeah, you're right.
Opener
you're right.
we're all like, yeah, this is like you're punching down. You're fucking taking jokes from a guy who needs them. Young comics need the jokes more than anything else. That's the currency in the beginning. So, but yeah, this guy doesn't have a very, very big following. And you know, whatever, dude, I'm sure he's a good dude. So, but I'm sure it's just, he just doesn't have enough big wins yet to let it go. And that's really what it comes down to. Because
there's no win here in any of this.
No.
Like there's no, like even him going public, it doesn't like, that's not like,
it doesn't look good for him either.
It doesn't look good. People aren't going to latch on you and be a fan of yours because you were wronged by Mark Norman, even if they believe that.
Especially
because
it's so debatable. And it's not like, you know, it's not a Carl Esmancy that's doing it. It's Mark Norman, who's like a pretty respected comic who people know don't steal jokes. You know, so, you know, I mean, I remember one time I had a tweet of mine stolen. And it's like a big famous meme now. And it's annoying, but I didn't even once post. I didn't once post like, dude, look, they fucking this. There was some bro. I think it was Bro Bible. Specifically, Bro Bible is the one, which is like a big like Instagram account. And the tweet was, for $250, I'll pretend to be a couple's counselor and convince your girlfriend that she's wrong about everything. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is a solid tweet. It's a funny premise for whatever. But somebody literally just took it, put it on a meme, and then put it on Bro Bible. And then that was that. And I remember I was like, dude, this is mine. And I was like, all right, it's who cares? What if that's where my priorities are at in life? I need to fucking move on. I need to. If I can't write another joke on that level, I'm not a comedian, and I need to fucking move
also
on.
Also, a whole American Dad episode based on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you took it from American Dad. Is
that? Oh my God! I think I saw that.
Just now, what I'm starting to think, Lewis, is you lifted something from American Dad. Now,
I'm glad we found out it was American Dad, because I didn't want to be the one to tell you that you can't write another joke on that level. That's fucking brilliant, dude. That was it. That was your big. That was your
home
fucking piece.
Fucking run.
I mean,
front to back.
Ooh. Yeah, I do feel bad for the kid, because number one, I mean, he clearly was doing that bit. And even if Norman never saw it and just fucking it still sucks to be a comic who's coming up and your bit is just out there. It sucks.
If you're a comedian and you can't feel the emotion from both sides of it, you're lying.
Yeah, no, it's of course. It's not a knock on this kid. And I also understand why he's like, you know, but chill, dude.
I don't know how long he's been doing comedy either, but that's like, he's writing.
Don't get known for this. That's also the thing, is like, don't get known for this. Like, don't get known, like, to be like, that shouldn't be the first time I've heard your name.
It should just be a conversation between you and him. Be like, hey, dude, that was my joke. I did it. You know, there's nothing to do about it now, but I feel like I had to tell you. It's just eating me up inside.
Sure.
You know, so. And then the implication there, by the way, is like, oh, did you steal my fucking joke? You don't got to say it. You could just, if you go that far and be like, oh man,
if I thought you stole my joke, I'd probably just fucking knock your ass out right here. But like, I don't think that's the case. I mean, if I thought there was even an inkling of a chance that you just lifted this from me and did it on Netflix, dude, I can't be responsible for what the fuck I would do. But it's not. But why even go there in our minds? Because that's not the case.
Obviously, I don't think you stole the joke. I mean, ask yourself: are you tied up in my basement being tortured right now? No, right? So no, I don't.
And like, that's probably what would happen. Like, if I even thought for a second,
if I let you stole my joke, we wouldn't even be having a conversation. It would be, I mean, like, let's get real. Like, we're talking
still,
now. Like,
you're still breathing. I like giving the threats and the thing. He goes, yeah, dude, I'm not just gonna fucking like mash your face in the bits like I could. Like, it's stupid to do that. That's dumb. This isn't about that. This is about comedy. You know what I mean? It's not about me fucking your world up so hard, dude, that your fucking girlfriend's not gonna respect you. But that's not like, we're both comics. That's not, anyway, we don't dwell on that word. I'm just saying, like, I did have a joke like that.
So funny. So look, funny. plausible that Mark Norman subconsciously lifted that joke.
That's that's his
also plausible.
His
that
worst
he,
crime
he parallel thunk it into existence.
I'm saying his worst possible crime is just not realizing it was something he heard at a comedy club.
Yep.
In his head. That's his worst crime, and just, you know, I guess not like
it is. I will also say that 90% of the time there's a debate amongst comics about a joke thief. It's just like a really terrible, like, hacky joke, which this isn't, you know, but like 90% of the time, that's what it is. It's just like someone's claiming ownership of the most obvious joke ever. Mm-hmm. And like low level comics bickering about that shit. Then like maybe like 9% of the time it's like maybe something like this, like they had heard it and subconsciously. It's like 1% that it's actually like a well-written joke and someone just like fucking goes, I'm taking it. Making that money. That like never really happened. It's so rare.
I'm sure it happens with like road guys a lot more. Like you go on the road and fuck.
Maybe.
There's a stink that's on hacky comics. You just kind of stink it like, you know, and you can tell they go on the road and they'll probably hear something that an opener does and goes like, I'll just fucking take that.
Well, there's some people that just kind of fucking would just buy it or take. Like I remember like Jay Moore's had weird things like that where I think his even defense, I hope I'm not saying this, that is
it was him cool. And Bert, right? Didn't they have like a huge thing?
I don't know, but there was a thing where it like whatever came down, it was like, yo, but I bought that from you or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's not a good defense either. That's weird. Yeah. Also, I think. But it's also, we're in a different time. I think there was a time where that wasn't so fucking weird.
That wasn't weird when we started in comedy, older comics buying jokes. I remember what's his name was selling his whole act. We probably talked about this in the very beginning of this podcast.
Ooh, sold
it was the, who has the brother? Is a magician with a brother? Not the Amazing Jonathan, the other one.
Magician with a brother.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he calls himself Gallagher too. Gallagher and Gallagher.
Oh, two. Gallagher's not a magician.
Whatever. Well, I didn't know. I've literally never seen Gallagher's act. I assumed that he just did like magic. Gallagher's the one with the watermelons, right?
Watermelons. Yeah. I guess he's sort of a prop comic for sure, but he's a, no magic. When I was younger, I loved Gallagher when I was younger.
Never watched Gallagher ever. I just assumed he did like magic within like props and stupid shit, right?
No, you know, it's funny. No, what's funny is his jokes aren't bad. Like he was a good joke and story writer. You watched him, Bobby?
Bobby loves it.
He was, I'm saying, I thought he was actually like pretty good and like, good written jokes, but his thing at the end was just, I never understood the smashing the fruit thing. It never made sense to me.
I believe his brother, Gallagher II, at one point sold his entire act.
Well, he took Gallagher's act.
Or no, maybe he took Gallagher's act.
He sold Gallagher's act?
No, there's something. I'm crossing stories. That's what happened.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of that. There was another comic. Gallagher's I forget act. Who it is, and I really wish I remembered it, dude. He was putting his entire act online. He was like, I'll give it to you. I'll walk you through it. I'll coach you in the act. And it was like 15 grand or something like that. And it was just some hacky fucking horseshit act.
Jeez.
What a dildo.
That doesn't even exist. Like hacky comedy in New York almost doesn't exist anymore. Not in this, like there is hacky comedy, but not in like when I first started, there were guys that it was like, they were like dusting off their old jacket and like coming out and like guys working at the comic strip, Stand Up New York, Dangerfields. And they were like,
well, it was still, it was the guys,
they
were
like,
the guys
they were 50.
Who had failed from the 80s were like still around, but yeah. Still thought they could like make it from the 80s like style of doing shit. It was like it was very bizarre.
Well, Dave, I think you've seen this with me before too. It's also just it's remnants of like the world. You know what I mean? That like change for people and they don't change. Like Dave Attell, still funny. Dave Attell is like, you know, not a jean jacket, but just like, you know, like a regular jacket and jeans or whatever to perform in. Do you remember though, Dave? There was something that meant anything at all. He would put on like a blazer over just like regular stuff. It would just be like a blazer.
He would take off his dirty bomber jacket and then put a blazer on it.
Yeah.
Just walk out. Yeah.
Exactly. It's such a funny thing. And you're like, he just does that because he thinks he's supposed to. It doesn't look, but he could just do whatever he wanted to do and just be comfortable. But his thing's like, nah, I think when you do a show like this, you got
to
put on a jacket.
I did the same thing on Last Comic Standing. I did the same thing when I did Gotham Comedy Live. I used to, the way I would get dressed up is I would just be wearing my outfit and I'd throw on a 3-button blazer.
Nice.
Just had a blazer over ripped jean shorts.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, I wore a blazer over a hoodie on Conan.
Remember
O'Brien.
That was
just like
that was
blazer
thing, though. Remember fucking, you know, like no shorts on stage. All that shit just went so far out the window. But that was like a real rule. Like you can't wear shorts on stage. Nate would be like, give me shit. He was like, can't wear shorts, man. No one's gonna respect you.
It's
he was right.
It is funny though that like. I remember Rascals West Orange one time tried to do that. Like when I came to perform, they were like, there's a dress code, man. And I was like, I mean, for the performers? I thought that was like a weird thing to even say. I'm like, really? And even when I said it, like, no one's ever said it to him. He was kind of like, yeah, you know, I guess that's true. And I'm like, yeah, like, what the fuck? Like, what if my thing was like to wear big floppy shoes or clown shoes?
Yeah, like, what if you're like Pauly Shore? Like, are you going to tell Pauly Shore that he can't wear a silly fucking bandana?
Yeah, like a mesh tank top or whatever it is he wears at the time.
And then, on the other, you pull it back, like, oh, well, you're not Pauly Shore. It's like, well, don't you want your comedians to be original and have a thing and be maybe looking for the next person that's like doing something like, I don't know, like the idea that you would ever tell a performer what they can or can't wear.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Yeah. Right away when I heard it, I was like, I get it's like it was almost said it was a concern that like they have a rule like that, but I would have never understood that rule if I had to.
Well, it's also I think like the stuff with like put a blazer on or like whatever the fuck, it's like this weird thing that's kind of left over from like expectations of networks or like Letterman wants you to wear like a suit or something like that. But like once stand up changed into whatever it is now, where it's like, you know, like we got our following from like starting our own podcast. There was no one else involved with it. It's just like us and our fans. You know what I mean? Like that. And then now it's like YouTube specials get more eyes on them than Comedy Central specials do. You know what sure. I mean? It's like at a certain point, you're like, wait, no, there's no one else who can come and like impose rules on what this should be. It's like, this is between us and our fans.
Well, listen, I always
like
agree.
You have a place you attend, with a stage. That's you what you bring to this.
You attend a thing and it's like, that's the deal. Like it's the deal. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I,
so yeah.
I wouldn't go to someone's wedding in fucking jean shorts. You know what I mean? Like it's fucking ridiculous.
But so you'd go
like,
to your own wedding in jean shorts.
I would go to my own wedding in jean shorts, but it's a jean shorts only event. That's different, Dave. That is a jean shorts only event.
Oh, dude. That's what you go up to someone in a suit and tie. Go, excuse me, there's a dress code. Yeah.
So funny, dude. Thinking about you, you chose to get married. What a psycho. You too, Dave. Both of you guys.
Seem like a pretty great decision for me.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm still, that was a good decision to get together. Not maybe not a great decision to get married.
Yeah.
Wait for the final settlement. Then you decide whether it was a good decision or not.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. Being met because we have no mutual assets, me and my ex, like in that regard, like getting married was nothing more than just like a financial, I guess, and like technical problem in the actual process of divorce. Other than we'd already done the worst part of a divorce is separate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think if you get divorced, I guess getting married isn't a good idea.
Sure.
I'll grant that.
Yeah, yeah.
What percentages of marriages end in divorce today?
Roughly. I think it's roughly half.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, you know, if you do some basic controls, like it goes
white
way up
skin. I don't know what the fuck you're saying, doggy.
No, I was saying like not, you know, when you get raw numbers like that, it includes like drug addicts, like fucking
also people,
you know,
who marry for like citizenship.
Yeah, whatever, like it includes everything.
44%, 44.2%. This is based on marriage, 6.1 people. Now look it up for white. What's the white? Bobby, I want to say the divorce rate amongst by race. Let's go by race. That's what I want to know. I bet it's not much different.
I also think that I think the numbers are going to be a little skewed in the last 2 years because I just know going through it myself, like they said, because of quarantine and everything, that like divorce rate is like crazy up.
Yeah, probably. And just probably the economy crashing, people losing their jobs and shit like that. You know,
it's tension.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, that's the number one like thing that leads to divorce is like financial fucking problems.
Yeah.
42% of black men experience at least one divorce and 38% of white. So it's not that it's very comparable. How is the average up to 46 or 44.2% then if blacks and whites are both less?
Because that's Latinos, weird. Latinos, they get divorced a lot. They actually don't.
I almost feel like Latinos probably stay
stay together the most. Yeah.
There's more than blacks and whites. I get it, Bobby. Don't be a fucking smartass. Every time I turn around, here's Bobby just digging
in. Now you're getting it in the written word.
I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm not trying to cut you down, Lewis.
I'm going
to
make Bobby cry by the end of this
episode. Fuck Lewis. Yes, Gallagher. Fuck Lewis. Yes, Gallagher. Fuck Lewis.
I mean,
yes,
you take it. I'm explaining you what the situation is, and you're taking it as I'm trying to cut you down. I don't understand that.
Wow, dude. Just stood right up to you. Told you the whole thing you thought it was. It wasn't like that at all, bro.
So who's the highest divorce rate?
Who works Asians, for who here?
Asians, I bet, stay married for a long time.
My guess would
I
be like...
I absolutely work for
yeah,
you.
Asians and like immigrants and shit like that, I feel like have the highest like rate of staying together. But I also think all those numbers are fucking skewed by like, you know, like people who have like out of wedlock kids. That's kind of like the, that, you know, if most people who have kids in a culture don't get married at all, then they can't get divorced.
Yeah.
It's sorry, dude. Americans.
The drummer from Lamb of God right now. Or I'm sorry. The bassist is from Lamb of God right now. Is DMing me.
Nice.
Hell yeah, dude.
I think he's okay.
What one a bass?
Yeah, one of those guys I fucking almost had a thing with.
Really?
That's why the lead singer liked me.
No way.
So much on the tour.
What was the guy's name?
I don't remember. I still, if I saw what he looked like, he unplugged my microphone while I was performing.
Oh, dude. Oh, dude. He pulled the Forrest Gump. He called that the gump in the business.
Oh, really? Yeah, he unplugged my microphone and I fucking.
Oh, you got gumped?
It was a thing.
And he plugged it in at the end. He was like, and that's how I feel about that.
And then Randy Blythe was like, he's like, yo, are you the one who got it with my guitar player or whatever? And I was like, oh, and I was trying to be like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, but it was like, it's stupid. It was
when Jay was like still, I mean, not you weren't young comic because you're still like a headliner and you were older than us, but you're still kind of like a pussy and would let that dude unplug your microphone. You're just happy to be on this tour still. I would have been kicked off the tour, dude. I would have.
No, there was a thing. No. I had that thing. They had like separate us and stuff.
I don't know the story at all. Please.
We, the night before Mayhem Fest started. So I had done already the tour with Korn. And then I went home for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was. And then
you toured with Korn.
Yeah. I never told you guys that.
The Korn?
Yeah, Maze. me and Maze always traveling around. But it was 2010, so I was I 33, I guess?
That was like 10 years ago.
12, yeah.
12 years ago.
So yeah, I was like 32. And
wait, you're 44?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Isn't that nuts? So then I know it's weird. I remember when Vecchione used to tell me his age is like those ages. And I was like, what?
Grandpa?
Impossible. But and then the next thing started out in San Bernardino, California for
Vecchione's autograph is like he's signing the Declaration of Independence.
But it was out. It started out in San Bernardino and we had to go to a hotel first. And they asked me if I would do some comedy at the hotel for all the people on the tour, like the bands and blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was going to be a fucking awesome idea. And then, but what it was everyone together at a bar that they put a microphone in and then whatever. But like, here's the thing. It was also almost none of the musicians at all. None of the ones, particularly that I recognized where I was like stoked on it. And I was like, all right. So I did the show and it was like, fine. It was going fine. The people that were listening and I was making them laugh. It was the best you could do, you know, for what my talent level was or ability at that point.
It's also, you're probably, it's a weird environment. So you're probably not.
I'm like nervous.
You're super nervous. So there's rock stars there. You're going to fucking not, it's not set up for comedy. You're not like confident because even at that time you were very confident could kill.
It's my first day again on this job of this job again. And it's like, oh, there's a comedian here. I'm not like a name they all know. So they're just like, oh, there's a comedian.
Oh, it's almost like, yeah, there's a guy who plays piano. Why don't you sit him down at the keyboards? And we can
right.
Just...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a comedian that's doing this tour with us is here. No one was excited to see me or anything. And I went on and said it was going like fine. And then almost like the fucking 3 days grace guy, just no weird like thing. I was talking to him from the stage and I was like, but he had like his chick was hot. I don't know if it was wife or whatever, but I was like fucking with them and saying stuff. And he was like, it almost like just like a dickish way. We weren't heated even. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, okay, that's enough. Like his drunken response to me making the jokes was like, how about I unplug the microphone more? And he just went over and unplugged it from the fucking
board.
So he
was trying to be playful with this?
No, it was definitely alpha doggy.
Okay.
It was like, well, I could stop. You know what I mean? I was like, you know, whatever we're getting back and forth. It wasn't heated on my end. It was like fun and funny. And everyone was kind of having fun with it. He didn't like people laughing at him. Do you know what I mean? So he went over and it was like, oh, here's a funny thing I can do. And he went and unplugged the thing. And I was like, yeah. And then my manager ran over and plugged it right back in. And then I just started.
Is that Wayne?
Like, no, the Rev. And then he plugged it back in. And then I started being like into the microphone, like, calling him like a cunt and that kind of shit for fucking unplugging my microphone. And then like,
but it's Lamb of God. So every time you insult him, it just makes him stronger.
I had no idea it was Lamb of God. And then Randy Blythe, like the second day of the tour, made me feel much better about it. came over. He's like, are you the one that got in with my guitar player? I'm like, oh, is that? Yeah. I was like, I think so. He was like, fuck him, dude. He's a drunk ass. I think Randy Blythe's sober or something like that. Maybe not. But like, he was like, he's a drunk fucking asshole, dude. I'm glad you, because like, I hope you wish you would have punched him in the face. But like, playfully, he was like, kind of half joking around too. And then he was always nice. He was super nice, Randy Blythe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're great, dude. They're a great band.
I'm a big fan of the guitarist.
Guitarist has some really good ideas.
No, way heavier than Pantera. They're really heavy.
Yeah, they have no melodic at all.
Yeah, they're fucking let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
They've got that vibe that it's like if they don't like something they're hearing, that shit's going to be turned off. Yeah,
doesn't
you
matter.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, they have that kind of aggression that says, like, if you come on our stage, we'll throw you off and murder you.
Jay's lucky he just got his microphone unplugged. He could have been murdered.
It turns out I could have been murdered by this band.
He could have been dropped to death into a crowd of metalheads.
He was about to strangle you to death with the microphone cord, but he stopped himself.
Dave, you know the story
about
what happened?
Imagine.
Do you know like the lead singer?
Yeah, in Europe, right?
Of course. Well, no, Dave. Dave definitely knows, because if you remember, it's why the three of us didn't go on Mayhem Cruise. We were supposed to go on the May.
Did they cancel it altogether?
Yeah, I think it was something like
they sold no tickets because he wasn't out of Czech Republic prison yet.
Yeah, I think it was something like Jay got us the gig and he was like, "It'll pay you $1,500," and I was like, "I think I'll retire." It's like, what? $1,500?
Yeah, it was gonna be fucking. And then we all, they canceled the whole thing because they started selling for it when we all went to Mayhem Fest the one time and we were doing it. We were gonna be on it, and then they fucking.
I blame that child.
The one that got knocked off the stage.
Why did you let Lamb of God murder you?
Well, it's so funny. That's why I think he got off. I think they were able to prove ultimately that the person who died wasn't the person who came on stage and got thrown off.
Oh, really? Is that what happened?
It was a different person. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they got off because it was just a fucking dumb accident. Like, it's not. That's what happens at metal concerts. What happened was the kid jumped on stage and then, I believe it was Randy Blythe, right? Specifically, pushed him off. He pushed him off the stage, which is just what happens at metal shows. People are crowd surfing, they're crowd stage diving. And, they said the kid fell and broke his neck or whatever it was. And they arrested him. But I just assumed that it was an accident and they sort of proved there was no.
No, they didn't arrest him. They didn't say much about it at all. They left.
Oh, and then he came back.
And then he came back to do another show in the country and they met him at the airport. And took him the fuck. He was in jail for like a couple months.
If you listen to their music, they were like, "Dude, we got to put. He's a fucking animal." they put the mask on him from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah,
he's fucking wheeled him around.
It's wild.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude. Having your freedom taken from you for just rocking ass. Gentlemen, please, let's take a moment and thank Zippix for supporting today's show. Zippix is an incredible sponsor. They make toothpicks that are laced with nicotine. So if you want to, get the buzz. What'd you say?
Laced the fuck up.
They are laced. They're really strong. Legitimately strong.
From the waist up.
They have multiple flavors. And they really, if you want to get a cigarette buzz, if you like smoking cigarettes, you want to get your nicotine fix.
They'll get you toe up from the flow up.
You're in a movie theater. You're at a restaurant.
Up
you're
on
a flight. Stewed up from the goot up. We're just saying things.
Nicotine from your head to your ween.
There's no smell. There's no smoke. There's no hiding cigarette butts. It's way less expensive than cigarettes. And if you are black, they do have watermelon mint flavored. So right now, all you got to do is go to ZippixToothpicks.com, Z-I-P-P-I-X toothpicks.com, and use the promo code SKANKS10 for 10% off your order today. All right. Where were we?
Native Americans have the highest divorce rate. Well, they're all alcoholics.
They're all drunks and they own casinos.
Yeah,
wildlife.
Of course. Yeah, a bunch of hookers that will fuck you so they can leave, so you don't bother them when they hook at your thing. Of course. What, are you going to go home and bang some fucking...
What? Oh, geez, you have a very specific story right now.
Some old Indian lady? No, you know the casinos always have the hookers at the bar.
At Indian casinos, they have hookers? I've never seen them.
Oh, look,
I would have taken them up on the offer.
I don't know if there's any offers that I've ever seen other than there's just girls sitting by themselves in sequin dresses at like a Mohegan sun bar.
The amount of Pocahontas references that I could have thrown out of these bitches.
Oh, my God.
Poked a hot ass. What? Getting nice with it.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking...
That's proven that Blythe had thrown off stage and thus more responsibly for his death. However, due to the circumstances, he was not held criminally liable. Most of the blame was with the promoters and security members.
It wasn't another kid. That you just made up another side of that, Jay.
Yeah, well, I said I think.
No, dude. It's a fucking man's life right there.
I am going to die on that hill. Look it up again, Bobby. Now look up wrong guy. Don't take none of this shit. Look up wrong guy.
And yeah, it was Prague, right?
Yeah. Do you want to do plugs and then we'll look up that YouTube page, our favorite?
Sure. Let's go. Run
through one of these bad boys. Go ahead, Dave. You want to go first?
Excuse me.
Reno, Nevada on the 26th. A couple tickets still left for the late show there on May 26th. I think there's a couple tickets left for Chicago on June 18th. Those are both going to sell out very soon. So if you want to come out, go grab tickets for that. Back at Pork Fest this year in June. And I think on the 23rd, I believe. I just did the State of the Union on Arge Fear's Skeptic Tank. And a lot of people love that one that we do every year. So go check that out. We did like 4.5 hours or something like that. So it was a good one. And the Patrick Bet David interview as well is up on YouTube. Go check all that stuff out. Part of the Problem, Yo MMA Rap, right here at Gas Digital Network. That's all.
Hell yeah. BigJComedy.com for all my dates. If you're listening right when this comes out, everybody, you got one more day. Stand Up Live, Phoenix, Arizona. After that, I'll be heading out on the Fully Loaded Tour, Burt Kreischer. That's 2 weekends, 8 cities. Come check us out there. Tulsa, Oklahoma coming up. Albany, New York. My schedule is full through the year, so go look for a city near you at BigJComedy.com. And, of course, the SDR show right here on the Gas Digital Network and The Bonfire 5 days a week. Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103, me and Dan Soder. And
back on the road. Were you done?
Yeah.
Back on the road next month, June 3rd, Hyenas in Fort Worth, Texas. June 4th in Dallas, Texas. Then I'll be in Ontario Improv on June 9th in Ontario, California. American Comedy Company, June 10th and 11th. Soul Joles out in Jefferson, Pennsylvania on June 17th. Albany, New York, June 25th, the Co-host Music Hall. And then we are kicking off the Offend Everyone Tour, myself and Aaron Berg at the Creek and Cave, July 4th weekend. Those tickets are officially up. We're doing the Depraved on the Sunday night as well. Kill Tony on that Monday. But grab tickets for mine and Aaron's co-headlining tour, Offend Everyone. We're going everywhere. We're adding a bunch of stuff. We're literally in the process of, we're about to announce the entire tour. But I'll tell you right now, Miami, El Paso, Tucson, Nashville, Alabama, Corpus Christi, Phoenix, we're going over Richmond, Virginia, Denver, Colorado, San Francisco. I mean, it's good. We're going everywhere. So get your tickets. They're going to be all going up on my website, lewisofskanks.com, for all those tickets and more. Subscribe to Gas Digital Network. Use the promo code LOS. If you guys love this show, subscribe and support to this show and this network. You get the entire on-demand library for all of the shows that we've ever done. They're all ad-free, uncensored, and in one place. Go back and listen to the entire on-demand library. You know, tear through the archives. It really is worth it. See where we started. See where we've come. It's been over 10 years of this show. And also make sure you guys subscribe to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PRRattlesnake. And check out the other two pods, Real Ass Pod and UMA Rap with me and Dave Smith.
And
if you guys want to volunteer for Skankfest, skankfest.net. There's a little volunteer sign up there. You're not going to get, it's not guaranteed. They're only choosing, you know, a handful of people, but go try to sign up. You get a lot of access that you can't get any other way.
We could probably grease the wheels for you if you get a handful of us, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. You want to go to this YouTube page and pick a new one to go through? What are they called again?
I don't know what they're called, but I love them. Project Freedom, Happiness, Hope.
Generation Hope.
Generation Hope. Okay. 16-year-old virgin.
There's some new ones.
They come out with new ones every week, dude. It's so hard.
16-year-old virgin sold to billionaires. Pretty great. Landlord
babysitter drowns kid in pool.
I like that.
Landlord evicts single mother of two kids. Hot girl, dad, I suppose.
Dad sleeps with 18-year-old babysitter.
Are these porn titles?
I know, right? Undercover billionaire gives away millions. What?
Let's see. White cop mistreats black mom part two. Can we see white cop mistreats black mom?
Might have to see part one.
Yeah, I don't want to be lost.
We saw husband fat shame his wife that week.
Which was incredible.
That was
excellent. Fantastic incredible. Acting.
9-year-old shames millionaire mother. That's just
about evil son demands PlayStation 5. I like that. Black girl wishing she was white.
Ooh, Karen humiliating a homeless man is kind of fun.
Yeah, they got a good actress for that. Nerd gets bully revenge. Evil mom poisons daughter. Wife fakes cancer.
Ooh, frat guy drugs hot girl.
Okay.
Oh, wait, there's a racist cops arrest black. Go down. Black family. Let's do that. Racist cop arrest black family.
All right. All right, fine. This should
y'all are both under arrest.
This is a little preview.
Y'all are right? Both under arrest for stealing those hot dogs.
What? We didn't steal anything.
Don't lie to me. I know you're kind, and you people are always stealing things.
We didn't steal anything, okay? We have these fair and square. You can ask the man over there.
I've heard enough. Officer Cletus, she goes, arrest that.
I can ask him? Okay.
Miss, what, pray tell, does ax mean? What does that mean?
Hey, maybe you could tell me how I could ax him exactly.
I don't know where this is going, but it'll
go
be
back.
Great.
We want to hear the axe part again.
It'll be great if the answer is that they did steal the hot dogs. And you just go, oh, that's so what you funny. Call good police work.
What if she has to do that thing where it's like the tail tuck where you go, fuck, I swear to you, I pulled my wallet out and I thought I put a five down. And I didn't. I'm sorry.
Always stealing things.
We didn't steal anything, okay? We have these fair and square. You can ask the man over there.
I've heard enough. Officer Cletus, arrest that kid.
Cletus?
I'll handle this woman.
What?
You're under arrest.
That's what you get for stealing, little monkey boy.
You are under arrest. If you don't stop, I will use lethal force. Down.
Pause it for a second. I got to tell you something. I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I think back at the station, they shouldn't have put these two cops on with the temperament for carnival detail. I mean, I'll just say that out of the gates. These two are not prepared to handle carnival problems. They are coming, monkey boy, out of the gates.
What you don't understand, Jay, is this is why there are no problems at the carnival. Because we got cops like this.
Well, maybe.
It's the crime that doesn't happen. You take for granted.
Can I play devil's advocate? Maybe he thought he was the actual monkey boy from the carnival. They have those like sideshows.
We don't work here, motherfucker. Oh, sorry. You do. You look like Jeff the monkey boy. And then Jeff the monkey boy comes out, does look just like him. And he's like, okay, honest mistake. Okay, honest mistake. Monkey boy.
You are under arrest.
Can I say this also? I mean, look, they are resisting. You'll have your day in court. I'm just saying, like, yes, these are piece of shit racist cops. We see that clearly.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but monkey boys have 8 times the strength of any human being. You'd probably rip this cop's arms off and beat him to death with
tear his face
the monkey
off.
Boy.
Lethal force.
At a carnival.
Hello guys. Today's video is sponsored by War Farm Adventures, but more of them later.
How are you feeling, baby? Are you excited?
Of course, Mom.
Even if sponsors.
You can win $1 million just by playing War Farm Adventure.
I know, honey. That's amazing.
What?
Plus, she'll be learning a lot.
Yo, this is an ad read in the middle of this
psychotic.
That's
hilarious. Yo, that's great.
This is.
Are you kidding me? They're trolling everybody.
They are. This is Louis J. Gomez on the other side of this.
Mom,
just like.
Mom, thanks for introducing Blue Chew into my life. She goes, well, with the same active ingredients as the other big guys. But it hits the bloodstream quicker. What are you guys stealing hot dogs? Because I may have been stealing hot dogs. I was just telling my son about rockauto.com and I may have forgot to pay.
Am I crazy or do I feel like Chicken Skin should be sponsoring this one?
Can you just tell me, Bobby, real quick, how many views does this video have on it?
I guarantee it's like a million or like a few hundred thousand.
Where's the view? They have 400,000 subscribers.
1,300,000.
They're crushing it. This is just fucking. I really admire what these people are doing.
So it's all it is money. Is a troll job. They write these and then dumb, angry old boomer white people get mad at it. They really legitimately get mad at it. Or really, really, really dumb old
woke people love it. They
love it and think it's a real message. It's fucking hilarious.
It's genius. And the woke shit has gotten so cartoonish that now you could do something this cartoonish and almost still pass for like, oh, look, this is what it's come to now. And like troll the right wingers and get the, yeah,
dude, it's great. low.
And they're just making bank
fake woke movies. Dude, we should just start producing these. This is a brilliant business model.
We should just steal their idea.
There's multiple channels like this. This is a whole style on YouTube now. Other people tag me in other stuff. This is like a thing that people do.
Really?
Yeah, dude. It's so crazy. Whack. YouTube is such a crazy subculture. There's like, I got lost in this YouTube thing for a while, a long time ago on a Real Ass podcast we were talking about. It was called ElsaGate. And a big part of it was like, there was people that were just like putting out content because they would hit certain things. So they put like Spider-Man and Elsa and Mario and another Roblox person all in a video. And they're all just like running around to silly music and kids would just start clicking on it. And then it would be part of this algorithm because it had all these specific characters and they'd get millions and millions and millions of views. But these were extremely low budget things that were just used to farm clicks and get paid off of sponsorship money. And then there was like conspiracies about like pedophiles in it. And who knows how much of that was real, but it was honestly, it's just creating really shitty, low quality content that gets people to click on it. And that's a whole subculture of YouTube. And there's people that make a wild amount of money doing it, not even creating content or good content, purposely creating bad content.
Plugging in live read to an acted out racist arrest.
It's just brilliant.
Fucking hilarious.
Are there no ads on this, or do we have YouTube Pro? Is that why there's no ads?
Premium.
Bobby.
I have YouTube Premium.
Yeah, because there has to be probably ads every fucking few minutes because they're long videos.
Yeah, these are baked in. The ones that we saw were baked in ads.
No, I know that they did their own ad reads as well, but I'm assuming that they have the
they could be making money from both. God damn. And this is never going to get demonetized because it's so woke.
It's so woke. It's fucking brilliant. It's literally brilliant, dude. These people are probably fucking millionaires.
You know, it's really getting fucked over. The actual monkey boy from the carnival.
He's like, I'm making peanuts.
Spell them, which is something that you need because you'll be going to college. You'll be the first one in our family going to college.
We know.
Grandma would be so proud.
But she was shocked.
Wait, you're not his grandma? I always assumed that you were the grandma. All right.
Yeah, they have.
What's wrong, Mom?
It's just
I smell racist cops.
We have some very expensive medical bills, and I don't know how much longer I can keep taking loans out to pay for it.
So I'm going to need me and you to find a reason to get arrested and make headlines so we can pay for the funeral.
This week goes, the backstory.
I don't know how we're going to pay for it. We're going to have to steal some hot dogs.
Yeah. It's like, listen, boy. We don't have money for lunch. No matter what they say, just deny.
She goes, now, Mama, what if we go over there and steal a bunch of hot dogs and then we sell our own hot dog? We sell those hot dogs to other people. He goes, that's a brilliant idea, little motherfucker. Let's go do it.
Good.
Look at this.
What is it, Cletus?
Look.
What are these
two
thugs doing?
Monkey
at our
people.
Event? I bet they're playing.
They're not even
money?
Young black men. It's just a mom.
It's a mom and her
what are these thugs doing here?
That's so fucking funny. Great gang members.
These guys are fucking hilarious. I love them.
They're great. Yeah, it's knowing that it's simply a fucking troll job to make, not even just a troll job. It's a troll job to fucking bank and make money.
I don't hate it.
Actor in this think they're doing something noble? Do you think they're being trolled also, or do you think
they're also I think they're all in on it, because even from the last one and this one too, it's not just like they're bad acting, they're doing bad acting.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, it's like anyone would act better than
how about I hit you fat woman, remember?
Yeah stuff like that. Yeah, it's like they're all in on it.
I mean, Generation Hope, who runs Generation Hope? Nicole Lynn Lewis, founder of Chief Operations Generation Hope, a nonprofit organization that surrounds with mentors. No, it's a different thing. There's another different called Generation Hope. Never mind. That's an actual organization. I'm gonna try to find more information.
Or shooting up the place.
I hate people look like them. Like my pop always tells me, if it's black, it's selling crack.
My mom used to tell me, if it's black, you better watch your back.
Don't worry, Mom. Everybody.
Your mom wasn't as funny.
Don't worry, Mom. I'm gonna go sell this crack. She's right.
Special boy Jeremiah. And you know what? You're right. We've been practicing every day. There's no way we won't win this.
That's the spirit, Mom. Come on, we're gonna be late.
Come on, Cletus. Go arrest them before they cause
I think
any
that
trouble.
These are probably yes, you can keep it going while we're talking a little bit because it is a long video.
Before they cause any trouble.
I mean, I think they probably are like wannabe actors. I don't think that they're trying to act bad. I think that they hire people for like next to nothing.
They're acting so intentionally bad in all of these things.
No, I don't.
The other one, the actors were all like. Actually, I think.
Can we go get a hot dog?
I don't know. Like I said,
maybe
Bobby,
not.
Bobby
maybe not this
50,
one
50.
As much.
Yeah.
The last one, it was really like overemphasized.
For one hot dog, $5 for two.
Wow, what a great deal!
I think this is the guy that like makes the videos.
One more thing.
Wait, hold on. Bring that back a second. Is the mom trying to fuck this dude?
Yeah.
Look at her response.
$3 for one hot dog, $5 for two.
How many
wow,
for
what a great
three?
Deal. Let me get two.
One more. Jeez. Thing.
Yeah, that was flirty.
Sure. Wow. So you're just like the hot dog king.
I can only assume you are looking for a father for your child, and I am here to tell you that I am too blocked up in my familia to take part in this. You are a very beautiful woman, though. Thank you. It's an honor to meet the mother of Monkey Boy. He's not the Monkey Boy. Oh, crazy. This doesn't racist, but he look a lot like the Monkey Boy. You should see him.
He's the same height, same haircut.
You know, Monkey Boy Brazilian, so it's no racism. You guys play War Farm Adventure?
Oh, shit.
Annual War Farm Adventure contest. If you're able to solve this cross war.
Wait, really, Jay? Jay, really?
Dude.
Did they actually?
Oh, no, it was. He was already saying on the bottom of the screen. It was.
Oh, like, was it? Oh, I thought, I literally thought you really just.
No, I can't believe, but you're right to be the shot. I can't, they're plugging it in at every turn. I mean, the advertising on this must be through the roof.
Doggy, I mean, it's all over it. Dude, this is blowing my mind, dude.
And
I'm in the wrong business.
It's going to make me look up what Word Farm Adventure is for sure.
Here's the deal. If you had a podcast that I know a little bit about, you know, advertising and the way this works in the business. If you had a podcast that was averaging 2 million views a week, you'd be fucking rolling in it, dude. You'd be rolling
my God. Me and Lewis are making millions off of our dabs we sell now.
But I'm saying the ad read plus the YouTube advertising, like this guy's making bank.
Oh, yeah.
For free.
Now that sounds like a deal. Come on, Jeremiah, let's get us some free hot dogs.
We got this.
Here you go.
Oh, wait, they're getting free hot dogs?
As you complete the puzzle, I'll give you more facts about War Farm Adventure.
Wow.
You see, guys, War Farm Adventure.
Fast forward. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're doing too much.
The more.
It's obnoxious. I'm furious that they don't have more integrity. This is too much.
It's a lot.
Nah, bro. This is a
money scheme. And now they're going to get fucking racist arrested.
Oh, well, what do we have here? Just
we won
as
these
I suspected,
hot dogs in Word Farm Adventure.
A bunch
of thieves. Download it on the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store.
I noticed you didn't play. Instead, you played a word game on your phone and then took hot dogs.
Officer Cletus, arrest that kid.
Yes, Captain.
Mom, how?
Let go of him. What do you think you're doing?
Y'all are both under arrest for stealing those hot dogs.
What? We didn't steal anything.
Don't lie to me. I know you're kind, and you people are always stealing things.
I already told you I didn't steal anything.
Oh, yeah? We were watching you from afar, and we saw you steal those hot dogs and didn't pay for them.
You were watching
Jesus
us?
Jesus Christ.
We didn't pay because we had a discount.
Oh, let me guess. The five-finger discount?
We got a discount on the fucking sheriff outfits.
By the way, solid roast joke. Let me guess, five-finger discount. The mom's a substantially better actress than the officer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So I think they literally just put out a thing on, like, Craigslist. It was like, we need actors for, you know, a YouTube film.
The mom right now, the actress playing the mom is like, come on, meet me halfway here. I'm carrying the scene.
My people suffer too long to be stopped at a goddamn carnival for stealing hot dogs. She, miss, shut your monkey mouth. I don't like you or your son. Arrest them.
Yeah, you if you've ever been to like a shitty acting class, which I've been to a few, like there'll always be like a mom like this in the class. She's like just trying to, like her therapist told her she's taking acting class to like step out of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You thugs can't fool me.
Mom, we're thugs?
No, baby, we are not.
No, you're the monkey boy.
Okay. We have no monkey boy.
We're thugs. Like, well, not yet. You got to take your first life. Here's your chance, son, to become one.
The man over there.
I've heard enough. Officer Cletus, arrest that kid.
I'm going to listen to that Mexican wearing a styrofoam hat.
You're under arrest.
That's what you get for stealing, little monkey boy.
You are under arrest. If you don't stop, I will use lethal force. Down.
This is where we find out he is Monkey Boy. He fucking tears
himself. He escaped Monkey Boy.
Oh, no.
He just freaks out.
She goes, that's why, right now, she goes, Mom, why are they doing this? She goes, son, let Monkey Boy out. Son, I know I've told you to hide your powers, but it's time to let Monkey Boy out.
She just peels a banana. She goes, here.
He fucking rips those cops to pieces.
He turns into Monkey Boy.
Son, I know I told you to hide, but it's time to show Monkey Boy.
Son, I have some banana. I have some banana chapstick in my pocket.
Miss Tuss, did we do something wrong?
Some people don't like us because of the color of our skin. They think because we look like this that we're criminals.
The speech.
Don't be black anymore.
Don't you ever say that again, honey. Black is beautiful.
This is
don't
awesome.
Don't let them break your spirit. I know that it's hard in situations like this, but you've got to stay strong. Do you understand me?
Okay, Mom.
Now you stay here while we run out your IDs and see what other crimes you people have committed.
Wow, that she is particularly wretched.
Oh, hey, Mr. Watson. We just caught a couple criminals trying to steal hot dogs from your event.
Trying to steal hot dogs from the event? Is that true?
No, it's not true. We won these hot dogs by solving a puzzle for Word Farm Adventure.
Yeah, right?
That's great, man. Look, we simply solved Word Farm Adventure's thing. It's a daily puzzle game that keeps your mind sharp, and some people say they can see results that their mind is as sharp as it was when they were in their 20s.
Of course, I use Word Puzzle Game daily.
Let these people go, you white racists.
Teeth. Getting free hot dogs from playing a game? Who would ever believe that?
I would, because it's true. That's one of the event's many deals. I can't believe you did this to them. Well, now, release them this instant.
Sir, I don't think you understand.
They're all in on it. They're all in on it.
Dude, they're 100%
no one's as bad at acting. I'm a horrific actor, and I could do better than this. They're
it's
all
It's one
on
of
it.
Their many possible victory surprises and wins.
Yes. Release them now, this instant.
And perfectly fine. Now release them.
What if then the guy, the old man, shoots them?
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
This really isn't even that bad. Everything got worked out.
What you did to my son? He's bleeding at the wrist. How do you not have compassion for kids? I told you we were.
Guys, hold on. I gotta pause. I think James just came to the door. Give me 1 second.
He doesn't know if James is coming over.
Oh, man, I really hope it's racist cops who are about to arrest Lewis or something they do.
I know you people. What? No, I was just playing Word Farm. There's many events. I want free hot dogs.
Sorry, guys.
We were rooting that it was racist cops at your door to arrest you. All right, let's play.
I mean, look at you. Anyone would think you were a criminal.
Excuse me? Why would anybody think she's a criminal? She looks just like any other person here.
Well, not really.
What are you implying? That because she's black, that she's a criminal?
I don't think she's implying anything. She is saying it outright.
Believe what I'm hearing. I'm calling your supervisor and getting you fired off this event.
No, sir. Please don't do that.
It was my supervisor's black.
A big misunderstanding. Right, Cletus?
Yeah, it's all just a big misunderstanding.
Please, sir.
I guess they couldn't get Cletus for the second day of filming.
Just give us one more chance.
Okay, but if I catch you bothering these good people one more time, I'm calling your supervisor as soon as possible.
There's another 7 minutes of this video. I think she cannot help herself but bother these people one more time.
So she shows up at their house next? Yeah, there's no carnival owner to fucking save your ass now.
Sir, you won't regret this.
I hope not.
I bet the carnival guy molested the kid.
Come on, Cletus. Let's go.
They really? Oh no, Cletus is there.
I'm sorry about that, guys. Please accept my apologies.
Would your son like to sleep over at my house tonight?
We're all equal, no matter what we look like.
Please accept my apology.
You don't have to apologize.
Here, take these. Take these free hot dogs.
In the background, someone just beating up someone in the background.
It doesn't kill you.
Hey, old man, guess what?
Hi, baby.
We lost that word game. Eye. We stole those hot dogs.
Yeah.
Stalker.
Kill him, monkey boy. Well, come on, guys. Kill this old man, monkey boy.
I can't believe they got away. I mean, how are we supposed to protect our community if we can't keep criminals like them in jail?
Well, Mr. Watson,
their heart is coming from the right place.
Mr. Watson doesn't know what he's talking about. He's probably underneath one of their black voodoo spells.
Voodoo spells?
That is a thing.
Don't you know anything, Cletus? Voodoo is something black people do to get ahead in life. They cut chicken heads, drink their blood for power. Right. Then they cast spells on us good, hardworking people.
It's the classic white view
they
that voodoo is real,
voodoo
but controlled by black
already.
People.
Generation Hope has a phone
what
number?
What I mean
no, Bobby.
Is I wish that we could get rid of all of them. So this world could be a better place for people like us. I'm tired of everyone protecting these criminals just because they're black.
Right. Is that voodoo?
Yes.
That's not voodoo. That's just a fortune teller. But now that I think of it, maybe she can help me figure out how to get these criminals.
This is psychotic.
Jail.
They're great, though. This but they're great. Hats off. Hats off to the whole production.
All right, fast forward a little bit here.
No, seriously. Whenever I failed at putting those thugs in jail, I felt weak, like I was made out of straw. I wish I could make all those black people disappear.
Wait, this is turning into a horror now?
What the fuck is this?
This is
Hello,
great.
Officer.
Wild behavior.
Uh-oh.
I've been waiting for you, Karen.
How do you know my name?
It's my job to know. Come on, have a seat, dear.
Wow.
I can help you imprison all the blacks.
Here's my Spencer's ball.
Give me your hand.
Why does she have a fake brain?
Let me see it.
Real Yankee handles, though.
Have you ever had your palm read before?
Nope. This is the first time.
The left hand represents your inborn fate, while your right hand represents your destiny, affected by your acquired environment.
Yeah, I know. She has some tattoos. They really is bad casting on the girl cop because everything leads to this girl fucks nothing but black guys.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain. The dreams I have are not as straightforward as you think. They're full of symbols and metaphors.
I see you getting raped by a monkey boy.
Well, in my dream, I saw a wolf hunting black sheep. But the wolf's teeth were gone, so it couldn't eat the black sheep.
Just gave it a gummer.
It started digging.
Yeah, do it that way you will.
And it dug until its paws were bleeding. And as it was
what the fuck is going on right now? Figure. The second half of this
bananas.
It says what happens next is shocking, so.
Small figure made a straw?
Yes. Why? Where did that come from?
What do you mean? It was right here on your desk.
No, that's not mine. You need to get rid of it right away.
What? What's the big deal? Just a little straw man. He wouldn't harm a fly.
I said put that down. Now.
Okay, relax. I'm putting him down.
All right, Mom wins the award for best actress in the or best actor in the whole show.
Why?
Oh, God, you did. What did you say?
Nothing, really.
What the fuck does this have to do with this? I don't understand.
It's coming back around.
I just said that I wished
there's a minute left.
All the black people disappear.
What? Why would you say that?
I don't care
for
sports.
How is it that making a wish is the first thing you do while holding a creepy object in a place like this?
Look, lady, I'm new to this whole thing. How am I supposed to know the rules?
Look, lady, I didn't know magic was real.
What not to touch?
Don't you know how to read?
Is this black voodoo shit?
Well, what do we do now?
Well, for starters, let me tell you what you've gotten yourself into. And what
Animal Farm word hunt.
You've just unleashed.
there's a part two to this, remember?
Oh, God.
Next week on Legion of Skanks.
Word from Avenger.
I hated it.
Yeah, it started off really strong. The horror movie twist left me a little bit lost. But I'll be honest, I got to see part two before I form an opinion.
Yeah. No, I'll give it the sequel. It's not out yet, though.
No, it is out. It is out. But we don't have to go over it now.
Let's do it next week.
We can do it next week. Yeah.
The next Zoom
that was a little rough at the end.
Give us something to work towards.
That video. It just, it went, here's the part. It jumped so hard from being fun to make fun of to whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah. Like I kind of got it when it was like, oh, you're mocking woke shit to troll both sides and you're making tons of money.
And then it just turned into this guy's fantasy of making a horror movie.
Like, yeah, exactly.
And none of it makes sense at all. Like none of the things go together. The black or the fortune teller lady.
There's a demon is now unleashed who's going to rid the world of black people.
Oh no! You've released Hitler's a bub.
All over some hot dogs.
All over some stolen hot dogs. I still think they stole them.
It was never made clear that they didn't steal the hot dogs. By the way, we saw them start playing the word game, and then they just had these hot dogs.
He's like, and they're like, we won, but it just restarted. And he goes, okay, I guess I'll have to take your word for it. Did those black people rob you? He goes, they didn't rob me, but I feel like they sort of like intimidated me into giving it to them for free. I would have still charged them, but they said they won the game, and I did make the rules. You want to wrap this bitch up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up,
bro.
Yeah, yeah, y'all. We'll catch you guys all again next Monday live, or on Monday live from the stand. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
A lazy-eyed albino.
Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
I'm a shepherd of shitheads.
Luis Gomez.
Luis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Luis J. Gomez.
If you look at me, I'm going to break your fucking jaw. I want to punch you in your fucking nose. May I punch up a magic in his fucking head.
And comedian Dave Smith.
Fuck you, I ain't got jokes.
I feel like if I wanted to be gay.
Fucking stick your fist up your ass. You have lube.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.
Yo, ding dong, we're done here. Time to go.